Hello, everybody. We're going to call the meeting back to order after break. So thank you. We're going to adjourn the delegate assembly now and return to local station business, the normal order here. And the first order is cab vote, but there, you are here. Good. The cab vote. Okay. So we're going to vote on cab members. No, we moved the cab vote down to underneath the adjourned delegates earlier when we amended the agenda. Thank you. So, do you want to remember?
Okay, so remember that before I ask you to take off your ballot part that has community advisory board, and so there are three people here. Richard Stone had also self-nominated in the past, but he emailed me, I believe it was Thursday night, and said that he was stepping back and did not want to be considered at this time, but Richard Stone, but he may want to be considered at a later date. So he is not on the ballot and is not a nominee for the cab. So right now there are three people applying for the cab, and I emailed you all the background information for all of them. Craig Dunkerley was here. He was helping with the election. Fred Cook is a media professional and videographer. And Sandra Parker is a very hardworking volunteer for KPFA, working and soon to be retired and be able to help more. Yeah, Frank.
I've got to turn mine off.
Okay, so what you could do, Frank, is take a piece of paper and just submit the names of the people that you want to. There's Craig, Fred, and Sandra, and you could vote yes or no by any of those names. Okay, Philip.
I think that particularly for new members, it might make sense to explain what the CAB is and why it even exists. I mean, my understanding is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting requires that each station have a body that surveys listeners to find out what the community needs. What are the community requirements? What are the community needs? And this advisory board cannot have any governance control. So that's why this body cannot be a CAB, because we have some level of governance control. And so consequently, a community advisory board is not just supposed to say, we want this and we want that. They're actually supposed to go out into the community and do surveys and do an appraisal of what would serving the community look like. And that's why it's a separate body from the local station board, which is in governance, and the CAB is not. And you can't be Corporation for Public Broadcasting qualified without a functioning CAB.
Yeah, and thank you, Philip. And you can't be staff either. The direction that the CAB is moving in is community engagement. So that looking particularly across the signal range to engage in the South Bay Area, North Bay Area. And so we really want to reach out to organizations and to have the CAB give input about what organizations, what are people doing in some of these different areas. And the local station board can also work with the CAB to build that community engagement. Tom.
Can the selection process for CAB candidates, can that be explained?
The selection process for candidates is that there have been announcements online. I mean, announcements on station, and there have been announcements also made at the CAB meetings. All the CAB meetings are posted. The CAB recruits people, and the station recruits people too.
And we can add people if we want. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. So go ahead and vote yes or no after each of these names. And please, let's see. Well, I'll
Did
collect
Craig
them.
Did Craig leave?
Craig left, so I'll just collect them. Oh, Frank, is anybody on Zoom? Yeah, I just want to report on the Community Advisory Board appointments of Craig Dunkerley, Fred Cook, and Sandra Parker. Sorry, not Sabrina. Sandra Parker were all elected. Thank you.
Good. Yay. And though they're not here, we want to thank them all for serving, because what Philip said is very important. We want to do every single thing we can to get back our money from, you know, CPB funds. It's really, really important for our board, for our station, and for the foundation. Okay. Now we have public comments. Do we have public comments? Okay. Go ahead. Okay.
2 minutes, right?
Yep, 2 minutes each. Go ahead.
First off, I'm glad the LSB, in its wisdom, voted down the corporate model for governance. I'm pleased by that. And hopefully the rank and file of KPFA, the listeners who, quote-unquote, own KPFA during fundraising time, will be able to vote no on this also. My main concern, though, is, well, everybody knows the events of the last week. It's far from over. The possibility of a major war of a country of tens of millions. KPFA in the past has always been the anti-war station. Not so much anymore. If I could count the number of pundits I've heard on the air in KPFA, not condemning the assassination as a over moral political principles, but on the fact that the Democrats weren't consulted. In other words, it's like rival mob families bitching about they're not included in the determination for a hit. I'm for the War Powers Act, as weak as it is, but it's been the main emphasis. I've heard very few anti-imperialist, anti-war activists on the air on any program, with a couple exceptions on Flashpoints, and I think that's a real mistake. And I think people are underestimating programmers about how deep it is, and also it's part of KPFA's mission. So I have nothing against, in principle, corporate liberals who believe the CIA, to quote Karen Rosenberg, is there to protect us, which is amazing to hear that on the air at KPFA, and why that person is a repeated guest is beyond me. But they should be always coupled with somebody that will tear them a proverbial new one, somebody that it's just so against the mission of KPFA. So this past week, I understand WPFW, which is not a very political station. It's mostly jazz, as people have noted. And WBAI did have a joint simulcast against the war with people calling in with updates on demonstrations. I'd like to see KPFA join with the other two stations in L.A. and Houston do this in the coming weeks. I think that's just so elementary. And that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. And Anthony?
Well, of course, I heartily agree with everything Stan said. Also, here's an interesting news item from the Marin IJ about 10 days ago, upon the occasion being the retirement of KWMR's program director, Lyons Filmer, who apparently long, long ago was a KPFA programmer. She was program director at KWMR, the community station for West Marin. Interesting information about KWMR. The station's offices were in a barn until November 2001, when it moved to its three-room space in a former creamery. The station has a budget of about $400,000. You can do community radio on a shoestring. You don't need nearly 3.5 million. And there's plenty of space in between 400,000 and 3,400,000 to operate. But this is the most interesting thing to me. KWMR relies on about 95 adult volunteer programmers to run the station. And about 20 junior high and high school students serve as guest DJs. KPFA could do that. There's a high school a few blocks from the studios. There's a community college campus a few blocks from the studios. There's a famous university a few blocks east of the studios. When do students at any level get involved with KPFA or are invited to be involved with KPFA? Never, as far as I can tell. There's this tremendous resource out there that we're not even attempting to tap. It's really shameful. And there's this popular cliche going around now that, young people don't listen to radio. Well, maybe they would if their friends and their classmates were on the radio. So we should learn from what other stations are doing and try to adopt some best practices. And one of those would be to involve young people in our programs.
Thank you. We do have a very strong internship program at KPFA, I would say, and I think Sabrina wanted bringing in students. Go ahead, Sabrina.
Yeah, this program was started by Antonio Ortiz from our engineering department, probably about a year and a half ago, and it's been incorporating students from UC Berkeley, the various community colleges. I'm not sure if they're incorporating. Hayward. CSU Hayward, right? A lot of the kids from there, from their media departments. Berkeley City College, like I already said. So it is happening. It's slow going as far as, figuring out how they're going to, mesh in or be folded into being on the air if they haven't been already. But they are, this internship program is up. It's going, and it's actually very, very, very successful. So they're really helping out a lot as far as doing on-air stuff, engineering. They're learning all levels of radio at KPFA. But it's a brand new thing. You probably hadn't heard about it, but it's going. It's a very successful program that we got going on. What else did you say? Yeah. What else was there? There's something else. I think that was it. Thank you.
Just on that same point, I just wanted to say that Antonio Ortiz was at the KPFA Craft Fair and doing the broadcasting from there, and the interns were there actually doing the broadcast. So I did get to meet some of them there, which was very nice.
Thank you. Janine?
Thank you for bringing up Antonio's program. That was one thing I was going to say. And then with the apprenticeship program, we still need some help in getting students involved in the apprenticeship program as well. But lots of people from universities and come through the apprenticeship program as well. But Antonio's program is very successful and is up and running.
And we also have the news department training, which is the spring and the fall, and those students are recruited from all around the Bay Area as well. That's a six-week training where people come in, or if they already have media skills, they don't need to. They can bypass the training and become stringers.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, go ahead. Andrea.
For the apprenticeship program, do you accept seniors? I'm just coming from an inclusion standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Okay,
all ages.
Great.
It's
okay.
Multi-generational.
All right, good. Thank you, because I do have some folks. I'll just send them on over there. Okay? All right. Cool.
All right, thank you. I see Darlene gesturing over here. It's great. Okay, so we're moving on to approve the minutes of the December 2019 meeting. And I know that, I'm going to approve the minutes for the December 2019 meeting. And Carol had sent those out by email. So people should have had a chance to review them. Do I have a motion to approve the 2019 minutes of that meeting? Second? Moved and seconded. All those in favor? All right, I would say the same thing. Do we have anybody by phone still, Frank? Okay, we lost our phone people. So unanimously it passes. And we have a motion to reschedule the LSB orientation retreat from February 1st to February 8th. Did you
want to speak to that? We were able to get the...
We need a second first. Do you want to make the motion?
Oh, I moved to move the LSB retreat from February 1st to February 8th, and the reason we did that was so that we could schedule the performance studio at KPFA.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a second. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
Could you tell us the time frame and location of that retreat, please?
Yes, that would be at KPFA, 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way Performance Studio. And probably it will start at 11 and go till maybe 1 or 2.
Okay, so block out 11 to 2, should we say? I still want to know what to put on my calendar.
Yeah, 11 to 2.
Okay, thank you.
And you'll be getting something else in the email as well.
Saturday.
Yes.
If it passes.
Yes, Tom?
Is that a Saturday?
Yes, it is. Okay. All the fun stuff happens on Saturday. Okay, all those in favor of the motion, raise your hand.
Fifteen.
All those opposed?
Well, I keep
one opposed.
Yeah,
two opposed. Oh,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
And any abstentions?
Two abstentions.
Got it. Then, well, the motion passes. And now we have the treasurer's report, KPFA and NFC.
I just have a short treasurer's report. I wanted to just report on a couple things. I can't remember if I mentioned this before, but the National Finance Committee, we had discussed the loan, which has the interest payments which are due on the loan, and they're due quarterly. And so the question on the NFC was how to apportion the loan payments. So there was a discussion to apportion it by station, so each station would pay 20%. And there was a discussion and proposal, I believe by Chris, to apportion it by membership so that certain stations would pay more, and it would be based on membership. And the NFC did actually pass to base the loan interest payments per station on membership, so it would be proportional and not just divided into five parts. That went to the PNB. That seemed like a very sort of reasonable. It actually took quite a while for the PNB to vote on it, so let's give Chris some credit for actually getting the PNB to vote on it, yes, because budgeting is so important. It did get it voted on the PNB, and amazingly on the PNB, five people on the PNB voted against this. Maybe Chris can talk about it more, but the reason was because people at WBAI did not think they should even be required to pay a proportional percentage. They didn't think they should be required to pay any percentage, and I just think people should know that, yes. That was how the vote went down. So kind of amazing to really grasp that their argument was that they're not going to be able to pay it, so they shouldn't be asked to pay it. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to report that because, you know, when people talk about the national and why there's dysfunction and things like that, that is a perfect example. I mean, I, just to be in the interest of all honesty, I was like, no, we should divide it by station. Each station should pay 20%. I thought that was fair. And Chris actually was like very persuasive and got the NFC to come around and vote for proportional. And I couldn't understand why anyone would vote against it on the PNB. I honestly just couldn't understand it. And when Chris explained that it was because they didn't think they should pay anything at all, well, my jaw dropped. It really dropped. So anyway, that's part of my report. The other part of the report is that the interim Chief Financial Officer Tamara Zwierdzierski has, Pacifica has not renewed her contract. So she was only charging Pacifica $3,000 a month, and she was acting as the interim chief financial officer, but Pacifica as a whole, in its wisdom under the new board that has taken over, the new majority on the board, has not renewed that contract, so we no longer have a chief financial officer. And let it be noted for the record that she wasn't even being paid the $3,000. It was just a debt that was being incurred, and Pacifica chose not to renew that contract. But the good news is that because the PNB did vote for the proportional distribution of the loan interest payments, at least now we on the LSB can incorporate that into our KPFA budget, because that's what we do. So now we have at least a number that we can put into the KPFA budget. That's my report.
What is that number?
Yes, exactly. Actually, I wanted to comment on all three things, so if you don't mind, I'll start with the last one first. So KPFA's membership is about 31% of the organization. The total amount due on the interest payment is about $67,000. I think if you multiply those two together, it comes out to about $20,000. So it's about $20,000 per quarter. So yeah, it works out to, I think it's $10 per member per year for the interest payments. So the portion of the board that voted against the this proposal, I think the primary reason wasn't quite as Sharon stated. No, we had a conversation and it was brief, and they basically said is they just can't, you know, that the stations are losing money, and you know, it's down to a choice between paying for personnel and paying for interest payments. They're not going to pay it. And what I pointed out to them at the time is that we do have a certain amount of buffer there's a reserve account that's set aside for interest payments, and it's got some money in it right now. So even if they were to pay late or pay a portion of it, the interest payments would get paid at least for the foreseeable future. But if we don't get started on this, of course, that fund will get drained, and then about mid-year we won't have any money left in that fund, and we'll become in arrears on our interest payments, which is not an acceptable outcome for the organization. The board, I believe this has been announced, so hopefully I'm not disclosing anything that's confidential. I don't believe it is. But we have hired a new ICFO, and she's starting on January 1st, I believe. Started on January 1st. And so this person has actually been working with us at NEDA. Her name's Anita Sims, and I've worked with her personally, and I think she's great. So I was really happy with this particular choice. There were a couple of choices that could have been made, and I think this was the better of them. She's the head of her department. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Did you hear all that?
No.
So she was actually Tamara's boss. She was actually Tamara's boss. So needless to say, she has familiarity with the organization, with our accounts. So there's incredible continuity in this move. So it was I was thrilled when this happened. So and that's, yeah, everything else I agree with as far as.
I just am not totally up to date on PNB stuff. So thank you, Chris, for clarifying.
Yes. Well, I'm gonna...
Oh, Marilyn. Okay.
Thank you for the report, and thank you for your diligence in getting that interest payment thing resolved and the proportional and all of that. I'm just wondering if what part of the reason why WBAI can't make the payment is because they were shut down during their fund drive, and so they missing all the money that they might have raised. You know, at least that would have been something. So hopefully that they'll be able to get their fund drives back up and running, you know, get more money so that they can contribute in the next time around. But also a question about the new position, the new CFO. Is that a chief financial officer or an interim? And if it's interim, what is a couple of questions. What does interim mean? and why not permanent? And then is that person now an employee of Pacifica, or are they an employee of NETA?
So the answer to the first question is that interim means any period. In this particular case, the contract is 6 months, and so she'll be up in she'll be up for renewal in June, which is exactly this. Incidentally, this is exactly the same contract that Tamara had, exactly the same. So it's, you know, the particulars, the amount, the obligation in terms of time, all of this stuff are the same. So, yeah.
And then is she an employee of Pacifica or NETA?
My understanding is she's a consultant, so they're not employees. They're independent contractors. Yeah, 1099. Yeah, well, yeah, okay. And just to answer the other part of the question, WBAI has been unable to pay its share of the central services for many years. So and that did not occur just after the October attempt to save Pacifica. They've been unable to pay. They've been running a $30,000 a month deficit for months, and they have not been able to pay their central services for quite a long time. So that was not the issue there. Darlene?
Okay. Susan, I see you.
Yeah. Okay. Darlene?
No. It's on the same topic. Marilyn, WBAI was never closed down. WBAI had a total staff layoff, and their programming had to be managed in a different way, but WBAI was never closed.
You told me so. Susan.
I just want to understand about our share, because there are five stations, so if it was equally, everybody would be 20%. Instead of 20%, you said we're at 21%, which is, 31. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, James?
I wanted to know if there has been any progress on the staff contract at KPFA, and if there has been progress, will there be any raises in wages?
That's not something I, as the treasurer, know. I mean, I don't know. Christina seems to know something.
I'm not involved in staff contracts.
Yeah, we aren't. But
we could just say the PMB has not ratified.
The PMB hasn't ratified it yet, so it's not actually in place. So
it's not PMB.
It is the PNB. The contract with the union is with Pacifica, not with KPFA. Just to clarify. There has been progress, let me answer the question. There's been progress, but it hasn't been ratified by the PNB yet. So we don't have any details. You're welcome. Tom was next.
You there? Okay. I think this is probably a question for Chris, maybe also for Sharon. At this point, is there any resolution to the alleged $809,000 discrepancy?
Yeah. So the majority of this, 80% of this, this error came up as a result of the fact that the reports that some people have been working off were created prior to March 31st of last year. And so they were based, the totals for the year were based on a 5-month projection out from March 31st. The bequests, a very large bequest came in. I think that's right, that statement. So if you look at the top two numbers, the two largest numbers on that list, both of those I believe came in June. So these were things that were not part of the projection. They didn't form part of that report, and therefore, you know, it wasn't a matter of them being overlooked. It was a matter of them not being reported. And when the books were brought up to date, they aggregated all of this stuff that has happened since March 31st. And now the current P&Ls, which we're going over pretty carefully at the NMC, actually contain the correct numbers. So, yeah, that all of that stuff has been resolved. There's a question of $158,000 that Maria has been back and forth with me about that I still don't quite understand what it is. It's some sort of grant fund, and I'm not quite sure what that one is yet, and I'm not sure where it is in the financials either, because I haven't gone from her email back to the P&Ls to see if I can locate that particular item. But if I can't find it, I'll just ask Anita, and she'll reply promptly, I would guess.
I was curious. It seems like some of this confusion around this is partly caused because bequests are not reported quickly to the PNB and to the Finance Committee, and it could be avoided in the future if there was a rapid reporting and if that's the way the Pacifica would operate. And I'm wondering if that maybe that's something you can take to the PNB now and you know, just to avoid this kind of things in the future.
Yeah, there's always a swirl of stuff about this financial stuff because obviously one of the main sources of this was the bequest that came in right in the middle of last year to WBAI and how that was treated, namely that 200,000 of it went to BAI directly and the other 583,500 went to Pacifica, and it had to do with the way the bequest was actually made out. And I understand your question, though. I think the answer to it is that I know, and I understand that. And I understand this about station reporting, too. So let me just say that I think it's a great idea if the stations report more in a more prompt way to the PMB, but the way that it shaped up at the PMB when this thing came to a vote is that it would just be a matter of reporting. In other words, you know, they would report it, and the PMB would go yahoo, and that's it. They would have no say over these funds because we already tried to get that to go through, and the PMB rejected it. Unless the funds are allocated directly to the Pacifica National Office. That's the only exception. When we tried to make this more general, we said any bequest over $200,000 should be divided proportionately between the loan and other exigent expenses. That particular idea was rejected. It was lined out of the motion, and in its place was just funds that are directed to the P&O. So, yes, we can report things more quickly, but the PNB basically said that the stations can do whatever they want with those funds.
Also, I mean, I don't know what the language was on any of these bequests, but if a bequest is made out to KPFA, that's where the bequest must go. That's what the donor's intent was. Exactly. That's like trust law. You can't just say, oh, well, we know that the donor made it to KPFA or the decedent, but we're going to not ignore that. That's not how it works. So I don't know what this one was made out to, but that's another factor.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah. When I look at the overall picture, what I see is that there is poor programming with low listenership, on much of the grid at WBAI. There are entrenched programmers there who have manipulated politically and worked out a system so that they stay in those places. Because of that, they're not able to raise the money that they need to sustain their station. And quite honestly, I'm horrified that they expect to keep their positions as a majority on the national board, you know, as an equal partnership, and then they expect us to pay proportionally because we have more members or we have more money on paying off their loan that has to do with their tower and paying and taking our bequests. Because KPFA listeners, if you took a vote, they would not vote, I believe, to send their money to WBAI to support poor listenership programming for people who think they have an easement on their time on the grid. So to me, these are issues that need to be addressed. And there's an issue about premiums. Tom, I want to ask you. I asked in an email and at the last meeting for information about unsent premiums at WBAI. So they, when people call in and they contract and they say, oh, I'm gonna get this premium and I'm gonna give this money, and then those premiums aren't sent over years with an ongoing problem. And I asked to have information about that. Instead, we got a testimony from Gary Knoll's partner or associate or whatever he might be, telling how great Gary Knoll is. So I would like information about the unsent premiums, how far that problem goes back, how many unsent premiums there are, because to me, I don't know if it's fraud, I don't know if it's a violation of contract, but to me it's dirty.
You want me to answer that question?
Yes.
A report was delivered by the BAI treasurer to this board. That's been, what, 3, maybe 4 weeks ago, something like that, that detailed the status of the undelivered premiums and a lot of other information that I don't remember right off the top of my head. But that report was served on this LSB.
Yes, he did. He sent a treasurer's report.
I don't recall right off the top of my head, other than it did detail the number of undelivered premiums and the amount of ones that have been delivered to that point.
Yeah, it didn't. I don't think it had very much about the premiums. I do believe. I know that Tom's right. He sent it out.
He sent a question about the premiums. How many called
for
back?
Well, I told you what I can remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
Well, can I just follow up? I am concerned that the Pacifica National Board is not addressing this issue in a serious way. And I would ask if you would be willing to bring it up with the Pacifica National Board to ask about unsent premiums and how much and how far back they go and what's being done about it. Because I think that's a very serious question for the people in New York.
I would refer you back to that report. It did have a quantity of detailed information in it, as I can remember at this point. If I would have been requested to bring that with me to this meeting beforehand, I would have endeavored to do that.
Would you be willing to look at that report and get the information about the unsent premiums and send it to us?
Everybody here has been delivered a copy of that report that exists.
Maybe you could resend it, Tom.
I will resend that report.
The premiums is in the report.
The ones that have been delivered at the point the report was issued and the quantity of them, and I believe it had some detail on the type of premiums, which was broken down to some degree. If that's not in there, I will endeavor to collect that and get it back to this LSB.
Thank you, Tom. I think that I wanted to let people know we're supposed to be out by 3. We can probably make a few more minutes over, but we're approaching that. I would say that if anybody wants to go on the Pacifica Foundation website, actually there are treasurer's reports, or maybe it's on BAI, but I've seen lots of treasurer's reports, and it is a constant refrain in our Paul Martin, is it? Yeah, he's very detailed, and it's a consistent problem with premiums being sent out when requested. When they talked to the manager of WBAI, his response was, payroll comes first. So which means that a lot of them don't go out. There are some that were never received, in fact, and that's a problem. Yes, Tim, and Janine was first, and then Tim.
I believe we have till 3:30. I just checked with Frank.
Do we? We have to be completely out of the room by 3:30, though. All of the electronics, everything. So. So yeah, we can extend the meeting, but
3:15.
You guys are going to have to help us get out of here. Yeah, yeah. How about 3:15? Because we have to get the equipment and everything in the chair. So let's 3:15, Tim.
So a question for PNB reps. I don't know. Did we move on to the PNB report already? So I'm just curious about the when BAI, when the layoffs happened and then there was lawsuits, are there continuing lawsuits about that or anything else about the network or the at WBAI or the network that we should know about? That's one question. The second question just it sounds like we made the loan, the interest payment in December. The next one is due in March. We're hearing some pushback from BAI about whether they'll be able to contribute to that or not. Is there enough at least in the bank to make that payment in March as of right now? So those are my two pressing questions.
Okay, so the lawsuits questioned. Sabrina, would you feel comfortable answering that question? Because I believe that that everything's been suspended at this point. Is that correct?
Yeah,
but
still. Mike.
It's okay. You'd have dueling mics.
No, at this time, there was a motion passed by the PNB. I think it was the beginning or mid-November, stating that we couldn't appeal, or there couldn't be an appeal against the lawsuit that was filed by Director Steinberg, Director Sagerton, Director Rhodes, who are all from WBAI, and several of their other members in the Southern District of New York. So they had their lawsuit still sitting there. There was still, I guess you'd say, procedural litigation that needed to go forth, but the PNB passed a motion stopping all of it. So the majority on the board passed a motion stopping all of it. So that lawsuit is sitting in limbo now because the lawyer that we have representing Pacifica had to stop everything in New York. So that, as far as that's concerned, everything is just hanging in limbo, at a standstill. No one's actually making a move to do anything.
So BAI is going to continue broadcasting as is and continue with their whatever.
As of right now, yes. As is at WBAI, yes. They've opened their doors again. The mismanagement is still in place, my word. The original programmers and the original grid has been put back into place.
Thank you.
The interest question. So, I'm not sure whether the payments are made automatically. They probably are. And yes, there was funding, sufficient funding for the December payment. Hopefully, funds will trickle in because they're due 30 days from when the PNB passed that motion, which was last Thursday. So, over the next 30 days, that payment should get replenished into that account, theoretically. The March payment is covered, and a portion of the June payment is also covered. So we'll run out of funds in June unless some amount of funds are not received prior to then. I'm very confident that that'll happen. I'm actually pretty confident that the September payment will happen as well. In other words, I believe that because of the motion that was passed, the first critical point will probably come right towards the end of the year.
As a follow-up, just so we're clear, when is the balloon payment due?
That one is due, I think it's either February or March of next year, of 2020. So that's a full, 2021, sorry. So, yeah, we're a full, 14 or 15 months away from that.
Okay, and just so people know, what is the size of that payment that's due 1 year from now?
Okay, the original amount that was on the loan, when the... when we started becoming obligated to pay the interest payments was, I believe, 3.25, but we paid $100,000 on it through the bequest that came in to Pacifica National Office last year. So I believe I have two different numbers on my books right now, so I'm not sure which one it is. It's either 3.05 or 3.15. Just say 3.1 million. Yeah. We're on interest-only payments right now, so that the amount of principal should stay fixed. Theoretically, it should stay fixed over the next 15 months.
I've heard some rumblings on the national level in regards to refinancing once we come to that June last payment. And their folks are talking about, well, maybe we should do that. I mean, is that even on the books for us to be able to do? I mean, it's not like we got the best credit.
Okay, so this is a difficult.
Hold on.
It's a difficult question to answer in that there's so many issues.
Well, let me rephrase.
Okay.
Is it possible for us to be able to do that come June?
You mean come next
or
March?
Next March. I'm sorry. Next
yes.
March.
Yes,
when
it
we
is possible.
Have, when we need to
it's
make
possible.
That?
Yes, it's possible.
Okay.
I would think that getting our financial house in order to some degree would have a great bearing on our ability to do that loan. It's possible. I don't know what the impact of the bylaws changes would have on it. That'd be an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the line of communication between Pacifica and the lender is really, really poor. And they basically don't want to be communicated with. It's a really odd relationship. But I'm sure they're watching. And I don't know how they feel about what's going on. But I'm sure that the numbers that are going to be generated from this last fiscal year aren't going to make them terribly happy.
Hmm. And so they're not communicating with you as a national finance chair?
They're not communicating person. With anybody on the board, to the best of my knowledge.
To the best of your knowledge.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge.
To the best of your knowledge.
Yes.
Interesting.
Thank you. Yes? Andrea?
Chris, you had a plan for us to think about. Are we going to have any discussion on how to generate that $1 or so from all of our members, or are you going to take that up? I mean, because we're all great on talking, you know, both locally and nationally, but I really liked your plan that you had proposed, and it seems as though it would help that we would put at least a couple bucks. I'd donate right now, you know, at least $10 for this minute. For us to hear you out and to see if we could possibly do this. We need to start talking about the money part. All of who you elected and being on and names and titles, that means nothing right now till we get this thing paid off and that KPFA is saved from this madness, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
It's interesting when you're part of an organization that has as many members as Pacifica does, how the numbers actually work out when you apply it, if you think of every single person that's involved with this organization. I mean, if you look at a small company that has 10 people and you have $1 million debt, that's $100,000 per person. It gets ridiculous really fast. But if you have a $3.1 million debt and you have 60,000 members, it's $50 per member. You know, and it just, these hurdles don't seem insurmountable to me if they're addressed on a national level. Now, the answer to your question is I don't really have – the NFC wasn't – charged with creating a plan for getting us out. I basically feel my responsibility at the NFC is to analyze the numbers. I mean, that's kind of my job, because when it comes right down to it, the NFC can't enforce anything. They can only recommend. So, you know, we can actually, there is one caveat to that, and that's that we can reject budgets that are like totally out of whack. If a budget's out of whack, we can say, no, you know, that sucks. Have another shot at that, you know. Or we can push it up to the PMB and say, yeah, we think this is okay. Will you guys vote to approve this? That's the kind of one piece of authority that we have. So I haven't bothered working on this, but I will say this, that Lydia, the new IED, has expressed interest in this idea of a national fund drive as well, which is very encouraging. It's very encouraging. And I think because of that, it probably will happen. So then the question becomes how to coordinate it, what to do, what day to set aside. She said she was looking at everybody's calendar to find a spot, an opening in the calendar that wasn't occupied by other fund drives. And so she's looking for all these little openings in the calendar for a one-day fund drive to try and just tackle the loan. And I have some really strong opinions about how to do this, but I haven't talked to her directly about it. And I look forward to that conversation. Yeah.
James was next.
Is there a website right now where you can go and donate to pay down the loan? There ought to be a PayPal to, you know, somebody donate.
That sounds great.
Virchow has a PayPal.
But I don't think so. No.
Whoops. Sorry. I'll have to get that after. I know. Okay. And then Frank was next. We have like 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just wanting to throw it out there for the people that are on the National Finance Committee. Is there any talk of doing the text donate thing where people could text a number and it'll make an automatic $10 donation to, like, you know what I'm talking about, the text donation systems? That, I mean, they really could be really able to raise a lot of funds real simply by, you could text, let's just say the word, like, save KPFA, text save KPFA to 7777, and you make an automatic $10 donation. So, I mean, if we could, someone could bring that to the national board about the text donation, because it really opens up the door for people just to be able to do it real easily. And so the text donation.
Tom is next, and then Sabrina.
Don't know anything about it.
Yeah, this is an additional question to Chris. Can we get a breakdown in writing of how the $809,000 discrepancy was resolved?
It's just part of the books now. So it's in the it's part of the current P&L. So I'm not sure what the question is exactly.
There is no discrepancy.
Well, there was a discrepancy.
Okay.
In any case.
No, there wasn't. No.
Well.
Okay.
This is the second meeting that we have not had a spreadsheet that tells us what's going on with finances. When is that going to come back so that we can take a look at it?
Okay.
Well,
Maria
presented a spreadsheet at the meeting two meetings ago. She gave us a spreadsheet of a breakdown of all of the information that you're talking about, of the budget of KPFA. Yeah, there was something sent out as well.
So let me just quickly go over what the status of the numbers, okay, because there have been a few people that have been interested in this, and actually I think I've addressed it a few times before, but I received this set of preliminary books just prior to Tamara Swiderski's termination of her contract, which was late in November, just prior to Thanksgiving. And Since that time, the NFC has had exactly one meeting, and it's been very difficult to communicate with the finance portion of Pacifica because we haven't had an acting CFO for the last 2 months. And so I've been doing the best I can to kind of crunch these numbers on my own, and I think I got a pretty good handle on them, but I'm just now able to start getting questions answered. So I'm working as diligently as I can. I hope to have something to present at the next NFC meeting, which is actually next week.
Thank you. And I would just say again, there are people who don't have access to all of the financials that continually rework the numbers to portray something that is not valid. So be very careful about what you believe that's out there. Look for the actual numbers, not some fantasy. Right, from the people who have access to the records. Thank you very much. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor, everybody can. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Good meeting. Yes, they will.
Just what about the item that is left? Are we putting again to the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay, but first item on the next meeting?